Pastor Deborah here today. Thank you so much for tuning into our live stream. We're so honored that you're here. If this is your first time, welcome. We consider our live stream family a part of our church family. Thanks for being here today, and we hope you enjoy the service.
We're so excited that you've joined us today. We're coming together for an inspiring message, a chance to connect with God and each other. If you need prayer or support at any time, don't hesitate to reach out. Drop a comment below or send us a direct message. Our team is here for you, and we can't wait to hear from you.
We'd love to know what you're expecting from today's service. Please share your thoughts in the comments below, and let's get ready to grow together. Do me a favor. Would you like, share, and subscribe, and maybe invite a friend to watch with you today? Once again, welcome to Liberty Church. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Worship. We give in the offering. We listen to the message, that we forget the joy and the beauty of everything. Like, we get to freely come to church where there's a lot of persecution throughout the world, where they can't freely meet. Or if they do meet, the government has to approve their messages. I know that there's been governments in the past and governments right now that edit Bibles to match the whatever they're trying to teach their people, or they want their people to, you know, it's propaganda, you know? And so we don't have that. How amazing is that? We get to freely come to a place of worship where we get to spend time with God, we get to hear an encouraging message, and we get to go out and be a light for Him. We get to give in an offering, not because we're compelled to by anything, by religiousness, but we get to give because we're thankful for what He's done for us. We get to give as its own act of worship, if that makes sense. And I know I'm taking a little bit of time with that today, but I think it's important that all of us know that we all have this incredible miracle of life, and we get to be a light every single place that we go. We get to show people joy. We get to show people hope. We get to show people peace. And so with whatever your life looks like, whether you're a student, whether you are you have a full-time career, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, primarily like me, God has given us all a specific purpose. And we can't be caught up in the motions that we miss out on that. And so I just want you, if I can give you a little homework today. I know we don't normally do that for offering message, but I want you to think about something incredible that's happened in your life, and just remember what the Lord has done in your life. Whether it's one example, maybe try to do a list of three and maybe build on that and think about the incredible miracles that are in your life. And it doesn't have to be a big one. It can be something as simple as, you know, God's given me an incredible family that I get to love every single day. Or maybe, I know that this is maybe a silly one, okay, but God's in the little things too. God gave me a great chocolate chip cookie recipe this week, you know? And it brought me a lot of joy, and I got to give it to someone I love, and it brought them joy. But I just want to encourage you. Let's remember what the Lord has done. Let's remember the miracles as well, the healings, the signs and wonders that we've seen in our life. It doesn't have to be the little things either. It can be the big things too. So I know that was a lot, but let's remember what the Lord has done and just have joy as we give today. So the ushers are going to pass the buckets down the aisles, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for the offering. So please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we get to be in this church. We get to fellowship with one another. We get to be a light wherever we go. We get to worship freely. Lord, we just thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. But most of all, we thank you that you died on the cross and saved us from our sins. And you came back to life. You gave us Holy Spirit. And now we get to further your kingdom by showing people the joy that you've given us, the peace, the hope that we get to share the good news wherever we go. And so, Lord, as we give today, we give it as an offering of praise. We thank you. We give it as an offering of thankfulness. Thank you for what you've done in our life. May we be good stewards of the lives we are given. Thank you for the purpose that you have given us, that we're not just on a floating rock in the space for no reason, but you have given us a reason to live. Every single person in this room has such an incredible, incredible value and purpose to their life. And we just thank you so much. Help us remember what you have done. Help us live out the assignments that you have given us, the purposes that you have given us. Help us be a light to those that we meet every single day. And I just thank you so much for what you've done and for who you are. We praise you and we thank you. In your precious and holy name we pray, amen. Amen. Okay, well, thank you so much for hanging out with me this morning. I would love to welcome up Pastor Mercedes. Could you please join me in welcoming her up as she gives our word today? Thank you.
Would you just stand? We're going to honor God for a moment. You didn't come here for me. You came here for him, right? If you came here for me, woof. You're going to be disappointed, but if you came here for him, he's going to meet you at your expectation today. Father God, we just honor you. We honor who you are. We honor your name, the name above all names, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that is Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fall in this place, fall in the homes of those watching, fall in our kids' ministry today. Lord, I thank you that your presence is already so sweet in the room. We welcome you to take over the service. God, change, rearrange anything that you'd like. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in the hearts of your people today. God, for the miracles, signs, wonders, direction, vision that you're going to give today. For the hope where there has been doubt. For the joy where there has been depression. I thank you, Father, that you're rearranging things today. That you're changing things. That you're putting us on the path that leads to victory. And we thank you, God, for your word. We honor your word. God, but God, we honor you. We honor your presence today. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. For you had us in mind when you made today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Why don't you look at somebody and say, hey, I was going to say tell them you look good. But, you know, so I get some of you really in trouble on Sundays. So unless you're with your spouse, you know, be careful. I love our media team. I just want to give them a shout out. I see Corey in the back. Thank you so much. We've got people that you won't see them, but they're up there. I see Nick, Pastor Brandon, they're in the abyss of up there, and you can't see them. Who else? Is there anybody else up there that I can see? I see Zach. Yep, there you are. I was like, I see someone. There you go. I just want to thank our media team. Thank you for those of you who have stepped up and started to be a part of it. I'm so grateful. We can't do it by ourselves, and so I'm grateful for those of you that have jumped on board. And I do want to say again, you may get tired of this, but I'm not going to. Lord of hosts, what you did for us, thank you so much. Pastor Brenda, Pastor Hank, Pastor Christy, Pastor Shane, we love you. And I'm going to take a moment, and if you would just pray with me. I know they're believing for their building to be totally paid off, and they have their conference coming, I believe, starting this Thursday night. I will be there. My husband will be there. Pastor Brandon and Charity will be there. My mother will be there. My mom will be there, and you're welcome to come. It's a free conference. You do need to register, but I want to pray over them because I believe it can happen before their conference, so they'll just have leftover for the things that God has asked them to do. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for Lord of Hosts Church, for the pastoral team. I thank you right now, God, that you're moving in the hearts of people that are supposed to give into their building fund. And I thank you, Lord, that it will be totally paid off, free and clear by the time of the conference, that everything else will be left over. And I thank you that you will do what looks impossible, and you will make it look like it was effortless, because for you it is. And we thank you. We call in that harvest for them right now. We thank you, angels, that you're going to get it. Enemy, you take your hands off of it. And angels, bring it speedily into their hands in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, also over their conference for the lives that will be changed, transformed. We thank you for protection over the speakers, over the staff, over the volunteers, over those coming, Lord, that your hand is on it. And we thank you, Father, that your word will go forth, that lives will be transformed, people will know you, miracles, signs, and wonders, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you didn't notice, my mom is not here because she's still on vacation. I think she gets back on Wednesday. I should really double check that. She gets back on Wednesday or Thursday because I should probably know. So she's having a great time, but she does say to tell you hello. I know she's watching today. She is the most faithful member. She does not miss. And so although she's not in the room, we love you. We hope you're having a good time. We can't wait to see you when you get back. I'm going to have her up here to preach here coming up pretty soon. She's a great teacher. And she'll come up when she's ready. But, Mom, I'm just letting you know. The floor is yours when you'd like it. Would you grab your Bibles today? We're going to go to Joshua in a moment, but I'm going to start. How many of you have a phone? Good, there you go. I see a good majority of you. You do have a phone. I as well have a phone. How many of you have used your maps on there? Yes. Okay. How many of you still use a physical map? My dad did. Oh, my dad did. There you go. He's like, you can count on these. And you can. I remember being on a trip with him, and he very, Jim McGaffin, I said, hey, Dad, let me put it in the GPS because we seem to be a little lost. And he said, you can't trust those things. And I said, well, we're lost. I don't think we have much to lose at this point. Let's just give it a go. So we put it in. He goes, that's not right. And I'm saying, well, you know, I think it knows a little bit more about the area, we're not from here, than we do. And in my dad's form, he's like, no. So he pulls over, and he's like, I'm going to get out my map. Which reminded me of Joey Tribbiani on Friends. Have you ever seen? Let me get in my map. And it takes up the dashboard of that giant van he had. And Colin and I, we're engaged. We're headed to El Paso, Texas, which we've done that trip a lot, but for some reason, one road was closed that day, and man, we were in a place we'd never been. And Colin's like, I'll just put it in my GPS. And my dad goes, nope, I got my map. We're pulled over. And he has his map out. And I mean, we're talking 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, we could be moving, like grooving at this point. And here we are in your map. And we don't know where we are. That's the problem with the map, is if you don't know where you are, you can't get to where you're going. You can try, but you will not be successful. And it came to a point where we put it in the GPS, and would you believe, it just got us on the right road. He did not care for that whatsoever. We didn't talk about that the rest of the trip. Love you. Okay. So what I'm talking about today, which was surprising that the Holy Spirit had me go this way, I'm going to go two areas today, but you know that God has a destination for your life. There's a final destination. You ever seen when you put in your maps, it's like final destination, estimated arrival, 11:40. I always see that as a time to beat, personally, but you know, I take it as a challenge, but that's just my personality. But how many of you have been on the road and you put something in your map and it started recalculating because you either took a wrong turn, a road was closed, there was an accident, there's major traffic, and it's like, hey, you were recalculating. And you see those little circle dot things? It's like loading. How many of you have thought, I know better? I'll just tell myself, I've thought, I've known better. And I'm going, this is the way I always go. You can't stop me. I'm going. I've been on this road. I've seen this road. I could see it with my eyes closed. We're going on the road, and I get there, and it's like, road closed, or, you know, this is happening. And I'm going, well, I really should have listened to my GPS. Why? Because it had the destination, and it took in account all of the turns, all of the traffic, all of the possible issues that could arise. And I was thinking how many times that God knows our destination. We think we know the route. We've been on it a million times. And he's saying, listen, that road's closed. There's something you don't need to encounter on that road. Try a different route. And we get so encumbered with the way that we forget to just obey the maker. Because he knows where we're going. And oftentimes we have a vision and it's wonderful and we know the vision, but it's the map there that we tend to get a little ridiculous about. We tend to go, God, I think you should, or you did it, or I've done this before. And God is doing a new thing. And if you'd like to get where he wants you to go, on the time he'd like you to get there, we have to obey. And sometimes obedience looks foolish. It seems like, why would I turn on that street when I know that that one gets me where I want to go? And he's saying, hey, I'm well aware of all the streets and all the possibility that is with every avenue you could take. How about this one? Because I've factored in all of the things along the path, and I have a better way to go. You could go that way, and I'll be with you there, but you could go this way and not have to experience a lot of the turbulence that you would if you did it your way. You could get there on time. You could get there without having to do all these crazy turnarounds and U-turns and stopping to figure out, where on earth am I going? With God, it's important we know where the destination is, but we don't get too tied up with the way we get there. And a lot of times, I am sad to say, I have gotten very encumbered with how to get there. God will tell me we're going to do something major. He'll give me the big picture vision of it, and then I try to figure out the roadmap to go. Have you ever been there? Is this just me? It's okay, you can leave me by myself. It's all right. I've done this. I've had the vision. I made it plain. That's what the Bible says to do. But then my day-to-day how to get there, that's where real obedience comes in. Because you have the big picture, what God wants to do with your marriage, what God wants to do with your family, what God wants to do with your business, what God wants to do with your finances, what God wants to do in your health, what God wants to do in your home, what God wants you to do at your job. You have the big picture, but the day to day, we tend to think we know better than the Holy Spirit. And newsflash to myself and to everybody that is listening, we don't know better than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows everything from start to finish. There are things he's factored in that you and I could never factor in to our best ability. Yet he knows. And a lot of times when we start to go through our day-to-day, we have the vision. But the day-to-day obedience is a little uncomfortable. It's a little out of the ordinary. It's a little, this is not comfortable to me. You're asking me to do something. You're asking me to eat a different way. You're asking me to wake up at a different time. You're asking me to spend this much time with you, but I've always just woken up and spent this much time with you. Or I've had my time with you at night. And he's saying, I want your whole day. Would you bring me with you when you go to the gas station? Would you bring me with you when you go to the grocery store? Would you bring me with you when you go to that meeting? And oftentimes we go and do something we know we're supposed to do. We go to work, we check in at work, and we leave the Holy Spirit in the car. When we get back in the car, we check back in with the Holy Spirit. But did you know that there's an easier, faster way? And it's called working with the Holy Spirit. You talking to him talking to you throughout your entire day. You can be at your job and still obey. God will never ask you to do something you're not capable of doing. And we need to remember this as we go through our day-to-day in obedience to God. That there's a trip I was with my mom and my brother Mark, who's coming, his wife Desiree, two kids. We were in California. We call this the trip from HE Double Hockey Sticks, okay? Because every single one of us got very ill. Two of us ended up in the emergency room. I mean, it was bad. And my mom and I, on the one moment we felt a little bit better, we thought, we'll go venture out for some soup. And this is not a part of California we knew. We put it in our GPS, and then we had no service. And man, did we drive around a lot. Because one thing my mom and I are good at is shopping. We're not so good at finding our way. So we were the wrong people for this job. But we thought, okay, we'll find some soup. We found the soup. Now it's, can we get it back there in time where it's still hot? No, we didn't. We ended up driving in circles. I'm like, we've been by here. Where are we? And then we ended up, we're like, my mom and I, thank God for the men in our life, because I can count on one hand how many times I've put gas in my car since Colin and I have been married. That's amazing. Thank you so much. But I tend to just not look at the gas gauge because I know he's always got it. And so a few times he'll get in my car, he'll go, babe, did you know you were like, you almost were on empty? And I'm going, I had no idea. And he said, I know, because there's no gas in the car. And I thought, well, I know, but I have you. And I figured it would figure itself out eventually. But there are things my mom and I were just, because we had such wonderful men in our life, that we weren't accustomed to really checking. It's not that we didn't look at it, but it wasn't like a every time we got in the car type of thing. And so all of a sudden there's a light that comes on, E, you know, you see that light. And we're driving and she goes, oh my goodness, Mercedes, we're on empty. And I said, oh my goodness, Mom, I don't know where a gas station is. She said, me neither. And we looked at each other in utter panic. Not the two people you want together when you don't know where you're going and you're out of gas. It was just not me and my mom, man. You want Colin in there, or you don't, just take my word for it, okay? So we look at each other, utter panic, and we look at our phones, utter panic. And she said, Mercedes, let's just stop. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to find us a gas station. And I thought, oh, Lord, of all the times. We're going to pray. We have no gas. We're somewhere we don't know. We have not so hot soup anymore. I thought, well, okay, so we prayed. We drove down the street maybe a mile. Three gas stations. It was take your pick. Which one would you like to go to? We went to the most well-lit one, obviously. You know, in all of our time where we were circling, we could have asked the Holy Spirit right then. We waited till we were lost, on empty, with cold soup to invite him into the conversation. Learn from us. Invite him in at the first sign of shaky waters. Because he wants to be with you in the most minuscule moments that you're thinking about. He cares about those. He doesn't want you wasting time. Have you made it to Joshua yet? If you haven't, give up. All right. Before we go there, I'm going to quickly read to you this verse, and we're going to go back and forth here. Proverbs 29:18 says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. This is my prayer for every single person that calls Liberty Church their home. That you would get a vision. That vision of your family, you should have a vision for every department of your life. Your marriage, your kids, your business, your finances, your own relationship with God. That you would get a vision but you would attend to what he reveals to you. Because you can have a vision. It's wonderful to have a vision. You should have one. But if you're not attending to what he reveals on the day-to-day basis, that vision gets further away. The more you attend to what he reveals, the closer you get to that vision. The more you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the more you're sometimes a destination change. The data has changed. And sometimes when the data changes, it changes the time of arrival. Well, if he reveals something, I can skip past the trouble. Sometimes I've experienced more trouble because I've skipped past what he's revealed. I thought that wasn't him. That's a little uncomfortable. I'm not going to do that. But when we attend, what is attending? When you have someone serving, they're attending. What can I get you? Can I feel that? What can I get you? When you attend to what he says, you get to where you need to go. And the vision becomes clear and it's less intimidating. Because, you know, my job is to attend to what you say every day. And the Bible says if we don't, we'll stumble all over ourselves. I don't want to stumble. I want what God has for me. Are you at Joshua yet? All right, hopefully. Joshua 6:1, this is the gates of Jericho. They're securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came out. To bring perspective, the children of Israel, I've talked about this, they're walking around in the wilderness. They're at the promised land. And instead of going in, they send in two spies. I'm not going to go through the whole story. But in verse 2, it says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands.'" What was he asking him to do? Imagine this. I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Point number one today, vision is always for victory. Always. There is not something that God will give you for your life that brings defeat. It always leads to victory. If God asks you to do it, it's because it's a part of your victory story. Always for victory. Joshua was looking at a fortified city, but God told Joshua, "I've given it to you." Did it look given? No, but he had the vision. He saw what God said, but then he had to listen to the instructions. And this is what a lot of us hate to do, myself including. I love to go to IKEA and look at all the wonderful things that are built. But buying things and coming home with the instructions is literally like, I can't tell you something I would rather do less than that. To put together anything with an instruction manual, I'm like, man. And having a son that loves little intricate toys, I mean, it's just, I'm like, Lord, help me. Thank God for Colin because he's so patient, and that's why God put him in my life, because he has that, and I take it from him a lot. My question is, what has God said to you? What was the vision? What's the thing you see when your eyes are closed that you're supposed to have? Joshua had that, but a lot of us, we grab that and we say, okay, God, got it, and then we go and we do things our way. What they had to do was listen to the instructions. Vision is for victory. See, when you lean so hard up against God, it's as if he would move, you would fall. But the fact is, he can take the weight. And Joshua leaned hard up against what God had asked him to do. When we follow instructions, it leads us to victory. But it's the day by day. When they were marching around, let me try to explain this. When they were marching around, they're going around once, They're like, why can't we talk? Because you're a bunch of complainers. Keep your mouth shut. That's why we're here. Let's keep going. Number two, hey, we're walking. You serious? Okay, third day, vision, he's got it. And all the people are like, okay, but today, do we have it? And he's like, just be quiet and march. You said God would deliver it to us, and he will. Shush. Walk around, march. Finally, the last day, I'm sure at this point they're like, well, we've already done it enough. Let's see if it works. They're marching around, and God says to lift up a praise. Now, if you're going into war, the first, and I'm no war expert, as you can tell, but the first thing I would not do is send out the praise and worship leaders. Love you. But I wouldn't be like, toss in the singers. Let's see what happens. But praise, Joshua had a vision, and God told him to do it, so he did it. Did he probably know exactly what was going to happen? No, he didn't know all the details, but he knew it was for victory. And the walls, it says they sunk down into the ground. It wasn't that they just crumbled. It was like they were never there to begin with. So things that look like an obstacle to you and I are actually going to look like they were never there to begin with. But it takes the daily obedience. Be quiet, okay? Praise, okay? God always, always leads us to victory. But sometimes we make the drive a little too long. The instructions. I love my husband. When I send him to the store with a told list versus a written one, I get different results. Any husbands in here? I've learned this. I don't set him up for defeat. I'm like, I will write this out for you. I will text this to you. I will give you pictures of what it looks like. Why? Because I'm setting him up for victory. God knows what you need. And he's factored in all of the things even that you don't think are a benefit that you have. Like the fact that I would say in the past I've not been the most patient person in the world. God's factored that in. He knows who he's working with. I'll give him victory. Here are the instructions. Walk around the city. Walls every day, one time a day for 6 days. Now Joshua could have left with that and said, God said, and he did, but there were instructions. Would God still have done it? Yeah. Would it be the story we read about? Probably not. Maybe another 40 years. Who knows? I'm picking on him, but we didn't live this, okay? Imagine if Joshua only heard the first part. We would have a different story. Maybe they would have just walked in circles. And I really do believe that God would say to some of us are walking in circles in places where if we would just go to God for the instruction, he would give it to us, and we get to the destination a lot faster. I don't want to walk in circles in my marriage. I don't want to walk in circles in my parenting. I don't want to walk in circles in my business. I would rather go to God and attend to what he says every day, which means there's been moments with my son where I have a vision of what we're doing as a church. I have a vision. And there will be days where God will say, slow it down. Your son needs you differently today. And do you know what an achiever that is like, but I have a list and I have so much to do. Slow it down. Go be with your son. Go listen to him. And there will be times and days where he's like, speed it up. I'm like, yes, sir. What would you like me to do? But it's attending to what he says. There are going to be different paces that God's going to ask you to go through in different seasons. It's not the pace that matters. It's who's setting the pace. Like, clap with me right now. So we started slow, we went fast, but you went with the pace I set. That is what we're to do with God. There's a pace for your life. It's going to be different than mine, and mine's going to be different than yours, but there is a pace for your life, and you're to go to God to hear what it is. And some days, it will be a different pace. In some seasons, it will be a different pace. When my father was in the hospital, it was a little bit of a different pace. When my son was a newborn, it was a little bit of a different pace, but it was God's pace. He was setting it, and I'm where I'm supposed to be, not because of what the pace was, but because of who I let set it. Who do you let set the pace for your life? Do you let your finances set the pace for your life? You guys have been wondering what's behind this the whole service. I know that I would have been wondering. How many of you like fruit? Two of you. This is the problem. You need to eat some fruit. Love fruit. It's good for you. These are different types. This happens to be me and my son's favorite, my mom as well. I don't want to brag, but I'm a good watermelon cutter. My mom far surpasses my skills because I learned them from her, but I'm a good watermelon cutter. There is a seed in here. Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for this. This is a watermelon seed. Can you see it? Probably not. It's so tiny. When you look at a seed, which we're all to plant, the seed never looks like the harvest. This does not look like this. And if it does, we know where to start. It doesn't look like this watermelon. The seed never looks like the harvest. What God tells you to do never really looks like the big picture. It's like, I see the big picture. What you're telling me to do looks minuscule in comparison to that. But he's working with your obedience. We miss out on reaping because we never learned how to sow this. We look at it, and it's hard. If I were to eat it, it's probably a little bitter. We see really no value in this. No value. If I throw it in the trash, nothing happens. If I eat it, I'll probably get a stomach ache. But if I put this in the hand of God, something can happen that I could not make happen myself. This. If I were to eat it, my brother used to tell me if I ate watermelon seeds that watermelons would grow into my stomach. I avoided watermelon for like a year out of being nervous. And then when I had a baby, I was like, this is what it's like to have a watermelon in your stomach. I felt like I had a watermelon in my stomach. Any women that have had babies, you felt like you're literally, I am a watermelon. This is what I am. I'm in a weird mood today. I apologize. I don't know what's going on. If I would give this to God, if I would sow it into the hand of God, if I would plant this into the kingdom of God, it is not so much the seed as where I'm putting it. If I put this in the trash, nothing happens. If I eat it, probably a stomach ache. If I put this into the kingdom of God, God has a way of creating this beautiful thing that nourishes me, enriches me, feeds my family, takes care of minerals inside of my body. When I give him something that looks a little bitter, that looks a little small, that looks a little minuscule, God can do something with your seed. But it is where you put it. Why do we give in tithes and offerings? First, because we believe God gave to us. But secondly, it's a law of life. There's sowing time and harvest time and reaping time. And when we give into the kingdom of God, this is always the outcome. And I know that there's pumpkins. How many of you have been to the pumpkin patch? Merritt got to go with his aunt and uncle, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Charity, and Rosie. He had the best time. He came home and he's like, Mom, I got a pumpkin for you. Eat it. I was like, oh, I'm not, eat it. I was like, well, we don't just eat raw pumpkins. We'll have to cook that. He's like, eat it. I'm like, I'm not going to eat it. But they're pumpkins, and this pumpkin seed, I mean, you can probably see this one a little bit better. But by itself, if I were to put this in the trash, no pumpkin's happening. But if I put this into the soil of the kingdom of God, there's a harvest that will not make sense. See, it's where you place your seed. And where you place your seed is really where you're placing your trust. Do I trust God? See, your seed, it's not so much about the amount. It's about where your placement of trust is. If God asks me to give it, do I give it? Because if God, what does the Bible say? If he can trust me with something small, then he can trust me with something bigger. But a lot of us aren't experiencing the bigger because we're still not being diligent with the small. And there is a route that God has for you, a vision, and I hope you have one for your life. But there is a path that you can take, which is the longer way. Or you could attend to what the Holy Spirit tells you, and you could get there a whole lot faster. You won't always understand it, but the vision will come. What you see when you close your eyes, you'll experience. A lot of us, if I were to ever see this, if Merritt were to hand me this, I would never think this could turn into this. Go, what the heck is that? A booger? No. It's a seed. If my son hands me something, you have to question, what is this you're giving me? This looks questionable. Where'd you get that? But see, a seed, even something in your life, as like, I came to church when I didn't feel good. Seed. I came to church and I gave when my finances look really shaky right now. I believe and I trust God. See, God never lets a seed go to waste. I talked about that a couple weeks ago, that every seed you sow, God remembers. He remembers every seed you sowed in tears. He remembers. He remembers. So God's telling these people, I'll give you a vision. You're going to walk around for 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to rock around. You're going to walk around seven times. But before you do anything, let my praise and my presence go before you. Now, they wanted a whole city to come down. And some of us are like, hey, I don't have a whole city that needs to come down. Well, in the spirit, you really do. And all it takes is going with the presence of God. One of the pillars we said this church would be, we would be a church that goes with the Holy Spirit, not a church that asks the Holy Spirit to come with us. Because I don't know where I'm going. He does. When we trust him and what he's asking us to do, you can trust you'll get there. You can trust that you're going to enjoy the ride. You can trust that it's going to be a good experience, a good outcome for you. But there have been times I have messed it up by thinking my way was the better way. Learn from me. Don't do that. Attend to what he says. Go with the Holy Spirit. Go with the Holy Spirit. I want to help some people today. I know that there's countless people watching and lives in the room, and you have a vision from God. Maybe it's a vision of a business. Maybe it's a vision of a book. Maybe it's a vision of something in your marriage. Maybe it's a vision of a healing. Maybe it's a vision for your family. Maybe some of your kids don't know God. Proceed it with praise. Praise unlocks the anointing, and praise is the weapon that brings down walls of Jericho. Praise, I love that song. It's called Praise, but it says, praise is the waters my enemy drowns in. And praise seems like something. It's like, does this matter? It's the only thing that matters. If you can praise when things don't look right, if you can praise when circumstances don't match up, It's showing you can put your trust in God. And you can trust that a little seed like this will turn into this piece of fruit. And this piece of fruit, as beautiful as it is, I think fruit's really pretty. I don't really feel that way about anything else. But fruit, anything else you eat, it's like, you know, potatoes, I love how they turn out, but I don't think they're really pretty. Apples, I think, are pretty. The cool thing about when you sow into the kingdom of God and you attend to what he says, you don't get just to have this fruit, you get to eat it. And I would take a bite if it weren't for my lipstick, and what would happen after? Trust me, you'd be like, you should not be speaking anymore. But fruit, how many of you know it's good? When it's a hot summer day and you get something like a really cold watermelon, woo, does it change the day? We get peaches from a gal at a farmer's market stand, and let me tell you, we get peaches. We don't get like one or two. We get the peaches, we eat the peaches, all right? We are a peach family. And they're not peaches that, you know, you bite into and you're like, wow, no flavor. It's just, it's a good peach or a bad peach. There's really no middle ground peach. But when I take a bite of that, I'm reminded of what harvest is like with all the seeds I've sown. Seeds you sow in tears, they don't come back bitter. They come back sweet, like fruit. And there's a vision that God has for you, and this is at the vision. This beautiful lemon, this beautiful watermelon, beautiful apple, this pumpkin that I won't eat raw. But there are things that you can enjoy. And oftentimes, what's in the middle between you enjoying that and you sowing it is your praise. It's often all that's in between. It's the thing the enemy's most scared of. When you praise, it says that your praise is putrid in his nostrils. He would rather run from the aroma of praise than he would to be satisfied in the moment and get what he wants. Do you know why the enemy likes you to hate your own body? This appeared to me this morning, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to share that. It's the one thing he's never had, and he's always wanted. He's never had a body. Why do you think he wants you to hate yours? No matter how small or how big or how, you know, why, like, I was talking to this girl, and she said, Mercedes, I hate my stomach, and I hate my thighs. I just hate them. And I said, why? Why? She said, because they're ugly. I said, did you know that the enemy just wants you to think that because it's your body's the one thing he's always wanted that he's never been able to have? He's never been able to have it. He'll never be able to have it, and he hates you for having one. Why? Because it's the image of God. Stop hating what God's given you. Start loving it. It was for somebody. I'm telling you, you won't get far hating yourself. As we come to a close today, Exodus 33:15. I think Joshua learned this from Moses, because in Exodus 33:15, he says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. See, we can get really antsy. We can get really anxious, really worried, really uncomfortable. But I'm not good enough to go without God. And you're not either. I don't want to go anywhere where the presence of God doesn't go with me. I don't want to step on this stage unless the presence of God goes with me. We had such a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord this morning. I mean, I was overcome, and I'm surprised my makeup has kind of held, because I was crying here at the front because the presence of God was so sweet. You can have that anywhere you are. But I think there's a part of this wisdom we need to catch on to. I don't want anything unless God goes with me. You don't want that vision unless God's with you. You don't want it unless the presence of God is there. There are great things to aspire to have and to do, and they're good things, but are they the God things? Are they the God things? There are countless things this church could do in the city. Look at the size of this church. What we do in the city makes zero sense. Zero sense. It is a miracle what we do every year, every week. Pastor Mike could tell you. He could stand here for hours, I know. The whole of Omaha team could tell you. This is insane. When we started coats, we're like, we'll buy two coats. We'll buy a case. We can hoodwink our parents into buying a case. You know, I'll buy two, you buy two. We can do it. And God turned it into a whole school. Why? This was a seed of trust that God wanted us to put coats on kids. And we sowed it into the kingdom of God. And what happened? We took on a school. We took on a second school. We took on a third school. What's this one over here for? Well, we're coming to a fourth school, guys. God always exaggerates the blessing. You give him something small, and he can make something huge. What's the small thing in your life that you could just give to God? I used to think I don't have enough money to give. And then I realized I don't have money to give because I'm not giving. If I gave, I would have more money to give. See, when you're a blessed person, you're blessed because you're not blessed if you can't give. If I don't have enough to give, I'm not blessed. If I'm blessed, I can give. No matter where you are, no matter what your finances look like, you are always in a place you can give something. And the Bible doesn't equate it to the amount that you give. The woman that gave all she had, that look, people were giving millions of dollars in that offering, and this woman comes up and she gives all she had. God said, that right there is what I put a blessing on. That right there is what I call blessed. That right there is what I call sowing into the kingdom of God and trusting God, because you don't need to trust him when you have a surplus and it's like, who cares? Who cares? Mm-mm. When you give and it has meaning and you're saying, God, this cost me something and I trust you with it. God loves to show off. Has this helped you today? I really believe that there's some people, maybe even watching online, maybe a few in the room, where God has given you a vision of what you're supposed to do in business, but your finances right now, you're not even trusting him with that. And your finances aren't in order. There's no diligence with what you have now. And yes, the business is supposed to come, but be diligent with what you have now. That's a seed. Diligence is a seed. And God will bring more to you. There's some marriages, I really believe, that you think that this is, it's small and significant, you serving your spouse, when it's like they don't deserve to be served. Have you caught their attitude lately? Where if you would serve, it's a seed. It's a seed. And I loved that my dad, whenever he did marriage counseling, it was, and I'm glad I learned this as a kid, he would look at both spouses and say, now, what do you think your job is? And they'd be like, well, I think my job is this, that, and the other. And then the wife would go, well, I think I'm supposed to be doing this, and he's supposed to be doing. And my dad would say, you're both right. You're both supposed to be doing everything. And you serve each other. What Pastor Charity talked about in offering today was huge. That your home is your first ministry. It's your first one. Before you add anything else, get that one right. There's people that would come to my dad and say, I believe I'm supposed to be a pastor. And he would say, well, how's your home? And why do you need to be a pastor in order to pastor? See, when God puts a mantle on you for something, you don't have to strive for it. It kind of happens without your permission. I was made a pastor without my permission. I was told, you're getting ordained on this trip. What? For what? You're getting ordained because you're being a pastor. I don't need to be ordained, but you're going to be ordained on this trip. All right. Okay. I did not want it. I argued. The whole trip. That trip I'm talking, we got lost. I argued about being ordained. God will put something on you, and it's like whether you want it or not. When you strive for a title, you're never actually serving. Serve, and God will put mantles on your life. It's food for thought. Would you stand with me today? The Bible says that if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. It's God's design for you to be most blessed. And he just gave us the formula on how to do that and how to have that. And it's to attend to what he says, because God's desire for you is to be blessed. That's his desire. It's not his desire that you're not blessed, that you're without, that you're in poverty, that you're sick, that your finances, that you never even get to do something fun. No, God's desire is for you to be most blessed. So many people have that backwards. They think God wants you to pay. No, God sent his son to pay so that you could be most blessed. Jesus came to give you life. And life more abundantly. Abundantly doesn't mean poverty. Abundantly doesn't mean sick. I think it's a slap in the face to Jesus to go, that's what God asked. No, that's why God sent his son to pay. So you didn't pay. You can live most blessed. All over the room, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads? Nobody's going to drop something from the sky, but I just want to give you a moment of privacy. I really feel in my spirit today that there's a vision that some of you haven't even made yet. You need to get a vision, make it plain. Ask the Holy Spirit the vision for your life, your marriage. If you don't have one, that's where to start. But a lot of you I know do have a vision. Ask God, what is it you're asking me to attend to? I've got the vision, but it's the road there. I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey when it doesn't make sense. I'm going to let you be the driver. I'm going to stop trying to take the wheel from you. I'm going to let you set the pace of where I go, when I go, how I go, what I say when I get there, what I say on my way there. You decide. You decide. And it's important you don't look to your left or your right of what someone else's pace is. That's what God's asked them to do. God's asking you to live your race. There's a pace for your life, and it's not going to look like someone else's. God has something special just for you. And when you can get a vision for your own life, then it becomes this global thing of the church. Because God will never do something in the church he's not doing in your homes. If God's doing it in your home, then you say, God, what is it we're to do in this city? When I was driving in today, I want you to keep your eyes closed. Envision this. I was driving in today. My son got to change his car seat the other way around. And he was like, this is the coolest thing in the universe. I should have always been riding this way. And we're on the way. And there's the turn in that says Liberty Church. And I had my blinker on. And I thought, this should be a line of people coming in here. There should be a line. This should take me a long time to be able to get to this turn. This should not be this easy. There should be a row of cars, and this should be a traffic jam. People trying to get into Liberty Church. God, that's the vision. God, help me get there. Help me to attend to what you say. That's what you've shown me. You've shown me a whole congregation where every seat is filled. We're in overflow. We're breaking fire codes because there's so many people in here. And then I open my eyes and I see empty seats. Well, what's the the road from where we are today, where there's empty seats next to you, to where there's a line of cars. We have to get to church an hour early just to get in the room. God, help me to attend to that. It's going to start first in your home. Then you're going to go outside of your home and you're going to bring people in the room. But I love even Mike Felder, what he was saying. I hope you're envisioning this, that it started in his house, him leading a Bible study in his home. And then God added to it. And he's going to keep adding to it and keep adding to it. But all of you have a seed today, a vision. God wants to turn it into this harvest. And I see in my spirit that there's maybe been some frustration. Some things that you're like, I don't understand this. I don't get why I'm dealing with this. Why hasn't this moved? Why hasn't this changed? And all I've heard this morning is just praise. Praise is the road into it and the road out of it. Some of you need to get into some things. Praise is the road into some things, and it's the road out of some things. Let praise be the language that you use more than your normal voice. You don't have to be in church to do that. You can do that all day long. God wants to meet you. He wants to be with you. It's his desire to have a friendship, a relationship with you. And that vision you have, God would not give it to you if it weren't supposed to happen. Let's attend to what he says. I want you to repeat this with me. Say, God, the vision for my life, for my marriage, for my family, for my finances, for my health, I'm going to attend to what you tell me to do day by day. I trust that you have the big picture in mind. And I'm going to attend to what you tell me to do. And I believe that that seed is going to turn into a harvest. And my entire family will eat the fruit of it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Do you receive it today? Do you receive it today? Some of you were concerned. Do you receive it today? God has a vision for you. It's a good one. Jeremiah says it. It's a plan for hope and a future. It's a good plan. God doesn't want bad things for you. The person that has your life in his hand wants good things for you. That's really nice. Know that. God wants good things for you. This week, let's practice attending to what he says. And I really believe that some of the testimonies are about to come from that, of weird things that the Holy Spirit's asked you to do. I'm the queen of the weird things that the Holy Spirit's asked me to do. But it has brought some of the greatest revelations of the Holy Spirit in my life that I've ever experienced in my 34 years of being alive. God will work with you when you work with him. When you invite him in, he has something to say about it. Let's listen to what he has to say. I love you, church. Get here next week. We've got a word for you. If you're going to the conference, tell me about it. I'd love to see you there. And I think that's, I feel like there, is there something I'm missing, Pastor Charity? An announcement? Yes. Thank you. All right, would you, if you're online or if you're in the room, if you've never accepted Jesus, we want to pray with you. Church, would you say this out loud? Say, dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose again just for me. I receive you now. I receive everything you are. My Lord, my Savior, and Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. Live big in me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, I hope you go out and you say that prayer with somebody at a store or somebody at an airport or somebody at a gas station. Don't be shy. God wasn't shy about you. It's what the world needs. But you know, I'll finish with this. Jeannie Mayo was talking this last week, and I happened to tune in, and she said one of the biggest things that a statistic just came out, that the generation, I think Gen Z, is that it? It's pretty far in the alphabet. That the number one thing they're looking for is they have knowledge. They have endless avenues to get knowledge, but what they don't have is wisdom, and they don't have a mentor. why can't that be you? Don't go in with like, should I? Yes, you should. They're looking for it. They're hungry for it. The world is hungry for what's inside of you. Don't you be shy about it. Come on, go in to all the world and preach the gospel. It's the good news and you have it. Let's share it. I love you, church, so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us today for our live stream service here at Liberty Church. We want you to know that you are a vital part of.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast.
Take a moment.
If you have prayer
to
requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. We'd love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.